Come, Holy Spirit. Mighty God, make us aware of your presence. Jesus, remind us of who you are. We continue in our worship of you and ask that you will speak today, that you will give us vision, that you will light the path for us as you remind us of how deep and wide and great your love is. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. In an office, there hangs a sign that says the mission of this office is to be an example of what not to do. If you were a boss, you probably wouldn't want that hanging on the wall, would you? To be an example of what not to do. Another team of employees put this sign up that said, we put our customers first unless we don't like our customers. Not sure I'm going to be going to that business as a customer. Or I'm going to really, like, kiss up to them. Domino's has a mission statement, sell more pizza, have more fun. Now, that's a place I want to work, right? Sell more pizza, have more fun. And Panera's mission is a loaf of bread in every arm. That's a vision, mission that you want to help, right? You want to get a loaf of bread in every arm. Lots of times people will talk at businesses and organizations about vision and mission and core values, and sometimes this feels a little overrated. Sometimes it's like, okay, come on, you guys. But having a vision or a mission as a community is really important because it helps the whole community to head in one direction together. When we don't have a stated mission, what happens is different people have different ideas of where we should go, and everybody's going 100 different ways, and none of us get to move forward as a group. So having a mission statement as a group is important so that we're headed together. It also helps set boundaries, helps us to know as a community what to say yes to and what to say no to. And so when we say no to an idea, the person doesn't have to take it personally, can just say it doesn't fit with where we're going right now. Like, it's a fabulous idea, but that's not where we're headed. And when we say yes to something, everyone can get on board with that yes, because everyone can say, yeah, that's where we're going. We can agree with that. Another reason organizations have mission statements or vision statements is because people want to figure out, do I want to be a part of that? So I don't know if you've had this experience before, but I've seen a mission statement where I went, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't identify with that, and so I'm not going to volunteer there. It can also happen the other way. You read a mission statement, and you go, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I want people to associate me with that. Today we're going to talk about our church's mission statement, which I think you're all familiar with, which is to nourish bodies and souls with the love of God. We say that a lot because we want it to be the core of who we are, and we want everyone to know this is where we're headed. And so we're going to talk about that today. So first, this mission statement came about way back when we were meeting in the storefront. So we were in the storefront, then we were at Edgewood Church, and then we came here. When we were in the storefront, we hired this consultant, Terry Bates, to come in and help us evaluate what do we need to do to get to that place of building a building. And one of the things was we needed to figure out where we were headed, not related to the building. The building couldn't be the reason we were going forward, because then you get in the building and then what? We needed to have a mission other than the building to drive us forward. And so we got together this vision team, and we did surveys of the congregation, and we researched the demographics of the neighborhood where we were at and the Westdale area. And we came up with this mission to nourish bodies and souls with the love of God. So I want to talk about types of bodies today. Jenna, you're welcome to, like, you can't see this, are you okay? I mean, you don't have to move, I'm like, visuals. So when we talk about nourishing bodies, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is the physical body, right? Like, I need to eat and drink and get sleep. But there are other ways of thinking of bodies. So there's the individual, you and I, individual people. But there's also bodies as in community as a couple, a husband and a wife, a couple or a mother and a grandmother, or mother and a daughter. So there's people who share a household. There's family groups. Those are bodies. It's a unit. There are also neighborhoods that are bodies. We can identify different neighborhoods in Cedar Rapids. We know when you think about your neighborhood, there's kind of a boundary line. You kind of think about right here, my neighborhood ends and another neighborhood begins. Then there's community. So these are groups of people that have shared interests, shared hobbies. So there's the radio group the Haneys are involved in, ham radio. So that's a community of shared interests. That's a body. There's also schools. We associate by the school. So New Disciples associates with Hoover. That's a connective tissue that we have. It's a body. There's also, you can identify groups of people or bodies by shared ethnicity, shared religion, shared culture. So when we talk about nourishing bodies, there's a lot of different ways you can think of about body. So what are some ways that we nourish bodies? So the obvious is food, right? You hear the word nourish, you think food. We're really good at that. We enjoy doing that. We're doing the crop walk today. We support Hope Builders and taking a trailer full of food to different neighborhoods that have more difficulty accessing food resources. We have meals. We have fellowship. We have a box at church where people bring in food. And if anyone wants some, they can come and take from that. And then that is also delivered to veterans in our community and other people in need. We can nourish bodies through prayer. In worship, we pray for healing. And we believe that God takes those prayers seriously. And somehow, in partnership with God, those prayers bring healing in people's lives. We nourish bodies or communities through welcome. And New Disciples, we've really created a space of welcome for disadvantaged bodies, disadvantaged communities. So the recovery community is one community, the immigrant community. We've also been a place for some of the LGBTQ community to find welcome. So we're a place where those who may feel disadvantaged in some way can feel a place. People with disabilities have felt very welcomed here. So those are different bodies that we have said welcome. Partnerships is another way we nourish bodies. So part of that nourishing of bodies is partnerships. We worked with other people to do things. We recognize we don't have to do it together. Support. We support different generations and different needs that exist. At this congregation, when you've heard of a need, you've all come around and said, let's help. Let's help make this happen. Other ways to nourish bodies is social events. We all need recreation. That's a need of ours. And so we have social events like this movie night that's coming up. And then life skills is something we've talked about. We've kind of dabbled in it, but I hear more of it when we talk about our future building, that we want to offer life skills, learning opportunities, cooking classes, how to budget, items like that. So that's kind of ways to nourish bodies. So then we talk about nourishing souls, and the soul is kind of this term that it's sometimes hard for us to grasp. Our bodies we can actually touch, right? The soul, how do you grab hold of it? So when we talk about soul, we're talking about identity and personality. We're talking about our mind, our thoughts, our reasons. We're talking about a perspective, how we're aware of ourselves and how we're aware of other people. We're talking about the spirit. We're talking about faith and hope and love. Part of nourishing or recognizing soul is recognizing emotions and memory, our morality, our character, our values, our sense of right and wrong. And then health actually comes into soul a little bit, because how healthy we feel affects how the health of our soul is. So then we think about, what does it mean to nourish soul? What does it look like as Christians, as a religious community of faith who follows Jesus Christ? Well, what is evangelism? We nourish souls by telling people about Jesus Christ and the good news of his love. We share the good news of the kingdom of God. We share the good news of salvation. Worship nourishes our souls. When we take time to just praise God, it does something within us. It transforms us. It heals us. We also nourish souls through spiritual experiences. We're sending a whole bunch of kids to summer camp, church camp. Through relationships, connecting with each other, but also connecting people with God. By listening and caring for each other and sharing God's grace with each other. And Bible stories. Question, can anyone think of somewhere that Either you have felt your body or soul nourished with God's love at New Disciples, or a way that you have seen somebody here or us as a community do that. Anyone want to share?
Okay. After we lost our pastor very unexpectedly, Kevin and I were on a huge search to find a church where we really felt like we were getting fed. The first time we walked through the door, we knew this is where God wanted us to be.
Praise God. So in your place of loss, about anyone else want to share? Yes.
At Kingston Hill on Tuesday mornings when we have our Christianity class, and also during, was it on Good Friday that you had everybody come to the prayer room for 30 minutes?
Yeah, the prayer room.
Yeah, Good Friday, I came to the prayer room. I think I read the Bible for about 15 minutes. And then yeah.
So the prayer vigil is another way, and then also the Christianity 101, the disciple classes. Yes.
I think the Lent booklet that you put out, I've never read one of those, and to hear everyone else's here story and how they felt really hit home. Every single day I read that, and every single day I knew who wrote it, and I was thinking that they were reading that same with me. So it really made me feel good and fulfilled.
So the devotionals written by fellow congregational members, and then all of us do the same devotional during Lent. Thank you. Go ahead.
It was doing our small group center. We do. First time that we did, we had this nice small group with some, we had dinner and watched a movie and discussed it, which was a series of movies. That really brought me into the whole church atmosphere.
And both nourishing bodies and souls were both of those taking place in that disciple group. Nancy, I think I saw your hand.
I had lost my belief or my love of Christ when I lost my husband. And I left the church for quite a while to find myself. And with the help of everybody here that's been involved in my life that brought me back, and especially Stacia, that made me feel like this is my home. This is where I need to be. And so it brought me back.
So during that time of crisis of faith, the church family was there for you.
Come
over here
and
come back. Ken?
What I appreciate is, like when somebody's sick or in the hospital or they need counseling, that you're there and you kind of make a person feel wanted and good, and just overall feeling of caring that is appreciated.
Thank you. So pastoral presence when in the hospital or sick.
Yeah.
Lisa?
I've grown when I've been challenged to expand my boundaries, which is to meet people and get to know people in the church. And so when I put my effort into it, which is why everybody gets hugs, it's really been a blessing. And I've gotten really close to people and gotten to know people in the church where before I knew your face, but that was it. And now,
so that expansion of family and people relationships. Daniel?
When I first came into the storefront, I received a lot of pain from former churches. I was hurt. Big guy. Stacia specializes in helping people that have been hurt by the church. And she helped me to stitch that up and then come home. And home is right here.
It's a place of healing from past hurts from other churches. Mom?
I've always been amazed at the amount of miraculous answers to prayers around.
There's been many miraculous answers to prayers. And praise God for that. Stephanie?
I just remember over the past couple years as I was going through the surgeries and time off work, how we'd be fed for weeks, and it'd be like, you get this call and you'd be like, we've had a list for the next 10 days. Don't worry, and we're going to take your kids to this. And it was always a big relief knowing that we were supported.
So the support of not feeling alone during a challenging time, having food and drivers. Rick.
when we purchased the property, we became involved with Beach and Hyla First, and I was very lucky to be involved in that. And over the past 6 years, I think they have helped me more than I've helped them. Very, very inspiring.
So Feed Iowa First,
yeah,
being a place where you're nourishing bodies, but it nourishes your soul.
Right.
Ricardo.
For me, it was the time when I was in the hospital, and I see the sister from my church who showed up. We went upstairs to pray for that lady. That I still have some time that means that reaching out for somebody.
So praying together during very challenging times. In the book of Ephesians, there's this passage that was referred to in the kids' sermon, and it says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide, long, high, deep is the love of God, is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. When we say our mission statement is to nourish bodies and souls for the love of God is the heart of that. That's what pushes us forward, that's what we're going for, is that we want to share God's love with the world. But it also means that we ourselves are recognizing God's love for us. Because it's only from us being able to recognize how much God loves each and every single one of you that we're then able to love others. So I'm going to read this again. I pray that you, I want to put your name in that, okay? I pray that Norma, I pray that Garland, I pray that Theodore, hear your name. I hear that Jeremy, I pray that you, being rooted, established, and loved, may have power to grasp how wide, long, high, deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. We need to continue to be that place where every single person, when they come, they know that God loves them. And every single person, when they leave, they have a greater sense of that love. So just remember that God loves you. No matter what's going on in your life right now, God loves you. And God's love is bigger than any of us can imagine. God's love is more. God's love is so great it can cover that darkest place that you think God's love can't go. God can go. God's love can go there. There's not one aspect of your life that God's love doesn't touch. First John 4:11, we see this letter. It says, Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete or perfect in us. Okay, the word friends is, this is to you. Okay, I want you to hear this letter written to you. It says, Dear friends, dear new disciples, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete or perfect in us. So the third time somebody visits this church, around that time, I try to meet with them. And over again, when I have those meetings with people, I ask them, so tell me about your experience at New Disciples. And over again, they tell me, I know I'm loved there. You guys are living out that mission you guys claimed years ago. You're doing it. And you can only do it if God's love is within you, because it's because of God's love that we are able to love each other. So I want to say thank you for being that church. Thank you for being that place that as a pastor, I can be proud of you and I can brag about you. And then 1 Thessalonians 2, 8-6, we read, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. This is actually my ministry mission statement. So when I was doing youth ministry, I came across this verse and I said, that's my ministry mission statement. That ideal that because of God's love for us, we are delighted to share it with each other, and we do that by sharing our lives with each other. We're open with each other, and when we share our lives with each other, we're sharing God's love. And that's what nourishing bodies and souls and the love of God is about. Just imagine, think about that. How many people we've done that for, and how many people we still can. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Now, I recognize that some of you may not feel this way. And so we need you to open up and share that and say, hey, everybody else says they feel loved, but I'm not feeling loved right now. Share that with somebody else in the church so that we can help you and we can share love with you, because we just may not know the area in your life where you're needing love. So share with somebody and say, can you help? Can you love me this way? And finally, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So in our hearts, we revere Christ as Lord. And we're always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. And we do this with gentleness and respect. This is evangelism right here. That's evangelism. So our mission is to nourish bodies and souls with the love of God. So I have a couple questions. Do you believe that this is still our mission as a church? As we claimed it years ago, does it still feel right? And I'm not asking for a response right now. This is one of those things we think about and talk amongst yourselves. And if it is still our mission, are we doing it? And how are we doing it well? And how can we do it better? Or where might God be calling us to do it differently? And the second kind of group of questions is, as a member of this church, do you believe that this is your mission as well? Do you believe that God is calling you as an individual person to nourish bodies and souls with the love of God? And if so, what does that look like? Let us pray. God, you are love. You are love. You love us. Thank you. Thank you. Help each of us to grasp your love, or at least begin to try to grasp it. Help us to begin to see how great it is. And gracious God, help us to know how to share your love with others, and may it just overflow from us, even when we're not trying. Guide this church, Lord. Help us to be people who nourish bodies and souls with your love. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. You may now stand to sing in his time. Thank you.